Powerful at Work Radio, episode 67.
Welcome to Powerful at Work Radio, the podcast for business owners like you who value each person and desire to lead powerfully. I'm your host, Rosa Ponce de Leon, and it is my goal to help you secure your legacy and make a real impact by establishing a culture where all are empowered to be more creative and efficient without all the burnout and people issues. If you're ready to do things differently, tune in and join the movement. Now let's get after it.
Delpha DiGiacomo is an accomplished leader with over 20 years of experience in the corporate world. Currently an assistant vice president at a Fortune 100 company, Delpha's experience has fueled her passion for helping others as a blogger, author, speaker, and podcaster of leadership lifestyle conversations. Delpha has an undeniable dedication for influencing a meaningful change for women and people of color. Her focus on authenticity and challenging corporate cultures to be more accepting of the impact people of color bring to the workplace has created opportunities for her to be invited as a recurring guest speaker. She has also provided perspective on recruiting strategies with an eye for diversity on behalf of various clients who are starting their focused diversity and inclusion initiatives.
I'm so excited to welcome Delpha DiGiacomo to the show. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you all the way from Connecticut. We were talking offline a little bit and you were sharing a little bit about your seven-year transition to the state of Connecticut from a totally different perspective, being in Florida.
Absolutely. It's going to be my eighth winter. That is how I'm counting my years here based on winters, but it's a lovely state, lovely area.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about your experience. I think our personal experience and our professional experiences are connected, and you do a lot of work with transition, especially with new managers. And so you're no stranger to that. Let's get started there.
Sure. It's been a long road. I've got 20 years in my industry and I currently lead leaders, but then I also coach leaders on the side. So I am fully versed in when you have employees and managers, it's what do you do? So we were talking earlier, right, about folks that tend to have this thought of, well, if I'm a new leader, I want people to do things my way. If I'm a new business owner, I want people to do things my way, versus really identifying the value of the people that are working for you and maximizing that value so that then they can do the best for you and the business you're in.
Right. So some of the common things that you've encountered with new managers, especially, if you could name three things that you need to fix right away that consistently for the new manager, it seems to be a hiccup for them.
Sure. Your way is not the best way. It was the best way for you. That's number one. Just realizing that people are not going to do it the way you're doing it, and that you may have employees that do it different, but are more effective than you were. The second part is humility. You have to be humble in order to be able to accept the value that other people are bringing to the table. Take your emotions aside. You're not competing with those folks. They're working with you. And that's the third part. People are working with you and not for you. And if you can maintain that level of realization, what happens is a collaborative relationship between you and those folks that are your employees. And I'm using like little quotation marks here, but you create this collaborative relationship that then lends itself to give you better fruits for their labor versus being their boss and talking down at them.
Totally. And I think we all probably hear this and intuitively agree, but the reality is it still happens. And it seems to happen more consistently than it should. We know it intellectually, but we don't realize when we're doing it, maybe. Maybe we lack the self-awareness to really test ourselves before we get promoted. And maybe we don't create an environment where people can give us the feedback when we need it. Like,
yes.
Hey, Rosa, you're micromanaging me. Or, hey, Rosa, I have a way to do it that isn't necessarily your way, but it works for me. How do we invest into that growth for ourselves? How do we get to a place where, number one, people aren't afraid to tell us when we're messing up in those ways? But number two, maybe I can anticipate that I might be messing up here. What can I do?
I think the first step in kind of transitioning your mentality is to be very clear in your intention about why you're leading people. Are you leading people to grow your business, achieve goals? What's your internal pressure for leading people? Did you really want to be a leader or not? And maybe you just want to be a manager, and that's completely different. Managing people to complete work is one level. Being a leader and supportive of an organization to help them transition to more achievement, it's very different. So your intention first is, I think, something that you should look at. Once you identify your intention, then you can set on the path of what I call honesty with others. So, and I'll use myself as an example. I was a newer manager. The people that interviewed me were the people that I was going to lead, which is a very different process. Usually you have your boss interview you, some of those peers, but not the employees. They picked me. So I had a, I felt like I owed them the duty to make sure to give them that permission to say, hey, this is not going to work out for us. Now, there's a difference in giving them permission to say it's not going to work out, or it's not going the right way, or something needs to change, versus manipulating the situation so that it's a better outcome for them. You still have a duty to the general organization. But in my first conversations, I made it very clear that I'm very direct and that my directness could be misconstrued. And when that happens, you tell me. You open up one door with people, it tends to give them permission that they feel like they can talk to you about other things. And that builds the relationship. So one door is all it takes, but you have to be vulnerable enough to open that door first. But first is your intention for being a leader. What do you want to get out of it? Is it servant leadership? I mean, let's just call it out, right? Some people are on a power trip and you just want the power. I get that. It's not going to get you very far, because ultimately other people have to buy into you. And that takes you back to, why do you want to be a real leader versus just a power trip?
I want to acknowledge that your practical advice is pretty solid in terms of being humble enough to say to our people, hey, this is a deficiency or a vulnerability that I have. In your case, you suggested I'm a very direct person. I can relate. And I think people do receive that well when you give people permission to say, can you help me keep an eye on this? Because I know that I tend to do this. But one of the things you started with is being able to take the time to ask ourselves, why am I here? Do I love people? And that's my biggest thing that I push for, because if you don't love your people, maybe you shouldn't be leading them, because your people are going to disappoint, going to break your heart. They're going to do dumb things that you would never expect. And unless you love them, you're not going to be able to lead them through that. There's going to be fractures. There's going to be dysfunction, and you have to be able to kind of recover from some of that stuff. So let's go back to that question and tell me a little bit about how that process would work of me figuring out why I decided to leave.
I would say really set aside the career path conversation. So we tend to talk about leadership from a career pathing process. You lead people because it's the next step in your career. It's what makes sense. Everybody's telling you to do it. I always tend to ask people that are going to start going through an interview process in a leadership role, have you considered yourself a leader? Have you helped your peers develop and evolve? Those questions are great to ask yourself, that are great examples in an interview. If you can't answer that question, where have you helped your peers evolve, lead projects, support themselves, give them tools and advice, then that's role number one if you're leading people, because it's a relationship. You're providing support, collaboration, engagement, and helping them be fruitful in their work. If you haven't done it yet, starting in a leadership role is not where you start. You do it before you get there. And I have talked to folks and I've said, you might want to take a step back. You've done a lot of technical work. You're a great technician in your space. Help other people become what you are. That'll help you decide whether the next level in management is the right thing or not.
Totally. I really like what you have to say about taking the time to invest in others, because as a leader, that's first and foremost what you'll be doing the most of. And if the first time you're investing in others is when you become a leader, you're already behind the curve. So I love that you open up this perspective, because that is the biggest feature to develop, the biggest characteristic to develop when we're on our way to leadership. And you're right, it shouldn't just be a career path. So if as a leader, I take the time and figure out what my interactions are actually like with others when I try to help them, when I try to help develop them, whether I'm effective at it or not, whether I've learned how to deal with different types of personalities or not. That's going to show when I become a leader.
I think you're absolutely right. And not only does it show when you're going to become a leader in a standard corporate career pathing, it shows up when, if and when you decide to make a transition into business ownership. If you ask the same question on have you helped people, I wouldn't say evolve a business, but think through transition outside the general box that we live in from a corporate perspective, then that tells you that your mindset may be ready. And I can tell you from experience, my mindset is ready. I've had to convince myself, my family, et cetera, that, hey, we're going to go a little bit of a different route. We're going to do the side gig thing. We're going to do the coaching thing. We're going to do the author thing. We're going to do all of those things. And it's because I have spent time helping other people think through beyond the career they have today to what truly fulfills them. If you take that perspective of fulfillment and you apply it to working with others, whether employees, peers, leaders, etc., then what you'll find is that their experience is richer with you. They'll want to follow you. They'll want to engage with you, and they will be more productive because your focus is on their fulfillment versus let's just get the work done and that's it.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Powerful at Work Radio. If you're ready for more freedom from the day to day so you can properly rest, dream, and be more effective as a business owner, I want to invite you to our upcoming free training where I'm going to share my easy 5-part process for making sure your team feels truly seen, heard, and understood. For more details or to register for the training, visit rosaponsdeleon.com. There, you'll also find tons of resources for growing as a business owner so you can go all in on your team while they go all in on bringing your vision to life.
Right. Now you're opening up a whole other side of it is not just the development of people for the sake of growth, but for the sake of fulfillment. And I really like that because the opposite of fulfillment would be burnout. And burnout is yes. really common. And no time has been more revealing than through this pandemic where everything was disrupted, our lives, our workspace, everything. And for some of us, it was a moment to pause and ask ourselves whether we were fulfilled. And I think that's important right now. People are realizing that there's more to life than just the grind. So in your experience, how easy it is for people, new leaders, especially to transition into that space? And how would a business owner who has new leaders equip those people so that they understand that that shift needs to happen, that it's about fulfillment and not just getting the work done?
Yeah, I totally agree that we've all gone through this, hit the pause button and have had enough time to think through what we want our lives to mean. And what you find in the workforce right now is that they're not willing to settle. I've read enough articles mm-hmm. that say, well, it's an employer's market. They can choose who they want to hire. Yeah, but guess what? That potential future employee, they can also choose. So think about fulfillment as your retention strategy. And when you're educating new managers coming in, yes, KPIs, the key control principles, all that stuff, all that matters. But you want to talk about the retention of the employee in a way that's human. So mm-hmm. it might not be just the dollars. It might not be the benefits, but it could very well be how you treat them at work, your ability to provide a space where they feel valued, they can bring their whole self to work, they feel heard and engaged. You can keep that person longer than the people that you just say, well, you're just here, you're going to do just to say, maybe it's a call center job and you run a call center and you're just going to say, well, traditionally people only stay a year and a half to 2 years. That's usually what happens in that industry. But now if you have driven initiatives with your management team that are about the fulfillment of that employee in that space and showing the value, not just in recognition, and people tend to think it's recognition, it's the inherent value I feel in the honor that I have to do this work. The value I bring is received, accepted, and is showcased. and it's part of the makeup of the business. I think Southwest does that really well, not to pick on anybody, but they talk a lot about the employees own the business. They truly do, and they believe it. And because they believe it, they stay and they make it work.
No, we love talking and showcasing great cultures. And anytime we can send a shout out to people that are doing it right, we're open to that. So fulfillment is huge. And I think in your example of call centers, it's even as simple as cross training and bringing that person. I know that I pay this person by the hour or their salary employee, but maybe I'm willing to invest 1 hour or 2 hours of their time to go and show them how to connect the dots and where they fit into the overall picture. What you do here, you maybe you're in this phone for however long, but what it means to the organization is so much bigger. And maybe it's time for us to show you what that looks like.
Yes. Yes. I love it when people showcase what they call success stories or shout outs, anything like that, that's not just good work, but it hits to the heart of the person that you're providing the service for. And let's be honest, most of the work that we do, whether you're a factory worker or you're working at a call center or you're in leadership, it's all service work. Your product is going to go somewhere and it's going to do something for somebody. That's why you're there to sell it, that it's service work. The same way somebody answering the phone and saying, hi, this is such and such, how can I help you? That's service work. If you treat it that way, that really changes the culture of a place to engage your employees in the value that you're bringing. And if they can buy into the value, they'll buy into the place. And if they buy into the place, they stay, even through the hard time.
Yeah, no, you're really highlighting that connection by calling everything we do a service, because it is a service to one another. And I think that does play into our humanity and the type of leader that is needed in this time.
Yes.
And I think the new generation is craving that type of leadership that doesn't just see me as someone that I can exploit for my work. I want to be able to live to play, but I don't want to have to work hard to play. I want to be having fun while I'm working as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay. We should embrace that. I think at first we saw a little bit of resentment from our generation, like, hey, I didn't need all that. Why do we need to have special names on the lockers and all this other stuff? But maybe we should be open to that and realize that that could be a really healthy thing to embrace.
I agree 100%.
So give us a final thought here, because you again, you've helped people, new managers transition, and you also do a lot of work with executives in terms of helping them to manage their people. And as we are embracing these new concepts, where do you see that taking us?
I really see a bright new future for companies that really accept that the workforce is very different than it was 2 years ago. That not just the Gen Zs, but the Gen Xers and previous generations now have a different sense of who we are, what we value, and what our priorities are. If companies and organizations can accept that, that's going to shift culture. And I hear a lot on, well, we want the culture back. Well, people are different. They're different. Mm-hmm. And the longer we stay home, the more different they're going to be. That's just, you know, it's facts of life. Experiences are what build us. And so I think just as a takeaway, if you own a business, you're thinking about owning a business, or if you're out there in the corporate world in leadership, really think and understand your employees are different. How are you going to meet them halfway so that they can feel fulfilled in your workplace, supported and engaged, to then create that retention and sustainability that we're all looking for, really?
Right. We all win in that scenario when we have that. And I think you're right. We should be hopeful and embrace the changes and invest in those changes. Let's get ahead of it. So I know that you gave us some great advice here in this whole podcast episode. And I encourage our listeners to give us feedback. If you took one thing that you applied, let us know what that was. And with that in mind, how do we get a hold of you?
You can reach me at delphad.com. You can email me from there or sign up for the newsletter. I have a blog where I talk all about leadership and really staying in the flow of your life while you're leading.
We will definitely have that in the show notes available. Like I said, reach back. I highly encourage all of our listeners to embrace the new future that we can all collaborate on so that we can all be fulfilled in our work. Thank you so much, Delphad.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Powerful at Work Radio. If you subscribe now, you're going to hear from some truly amazing guests who will help you shift into a new approach to leadership so you can develop a healthy relationship with your team and truly maximize your impact. We'll explore stories from experts who are daring to do work differently, and we want to invite you into the conversation. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. We're excited to help you lead a high-performance team with simple advice that you can start using right now for maximum results.